we like to describe a Christian in this way, and it's very much along the same lines that Mike just shared with us. But a Christian is someone who's been saved, been set free, and follows and lives a life of holiness following the example of Jesus. So someone who's been saved from the penalty of sin, set free from the power of sin, and lives a life of holiness following the example of Jesus. And to kind of help us dive into that today, we're going to focus on a passage in 1 Corinthians. Now, 1 Corinthians is a letter, and it was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And if you don't know much about the Apostle Paul, he was a Jew. He was born a Jew, and he was a very righteous Jew. He followed the law of the Jews. He was a religious leader, in other words, and he was very devout. In fact, he was so devout that the first part of his life, he spent persecuting the Christians because he saw them as blasphemers, as those who weren't following the right way, those who weren't following the law. But Jesus appeared to him in a very real way and showed him the truth. And so he became an apostle to the Gentiles. He became a follower of Jesus, and he wrote First Corinthians. And so to help us think about this question of what is a Christian, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so Paul's writing here, and he says this. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved." So if we talk about what is a Christian is someone who's been saved, set free, and lives. I thought it'd just be a good idea to see what Paul says about this gospel by which we are saved. He says this. He says, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you." So if you hold firmly to the message I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. So be careful. Make sure that you hold firm to the message that's been preached to you. You know, don't be led astray. And he says, For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance. I want you to know, that I was diligent in communicating to you the gospel as I received it, as it had been passed down to me. And here he gives the gospel. This is the gospel message in a nutshell. If you want to know what the gospel is, listen up, okay? He says this. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So Christ died, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So Peter is another name for Cephas. If you haven't heard the word Cephas before, I had a great-grandfather's name was Cephas. Actually, like great-great-great-grandfather. But if you haven't heard Cephas before, it's just another name for Peter. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. I think Paul had a little bit of a sense of humor. I was kind of the odd duck, he says. So I want to help us kind of get a sense of this. I just want to make note of a couple things about this gospel. So that Christ died. So here's the gospel message, the heart of it. Christ died for our sins, he says. And he says, according to the scriptures. going to use a little abbreviation there. And then he goes on and says this, that he was buried. So Christ was buried. And then it says that he was raised on the third day. So Christ was raised. It says on the third day. And then he uses that phrase again, according to the scriptures. This was planned. This was not just some last minute idea of God's. This was planned. And then, and that he appeared, and he goes ahead and lists all these people that Christ appeared to. And I'm going to just say here that Christ appeared to many. So Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ was buried. You know, he was dead. Dead. And Christ was raised. He didn't stay in the grave. And Christ appeared as proof of his resurrection to many people. And he lists out all those people. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised, Christ appeared. If you want to know the gospel message, if you want to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's right here. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised, Christ appeared. And all of this is in according to the scriptures. This was not a last minute idea. So Paul, he lays the groundwork there. He says, this is the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then he goes on and says, you know, he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, this is in verse 12, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How many people here are comfortable with the idea of resurrection? Yeah. But you know, it can be kind of odd because sometimes we like to think about resurrection in more of a metaphorical sense that, you know, we're spiritually dead and Christ is gonna raise us up. But you know, it's more of a metaphorical thing. It's a way of, you know, it's kind of like looking at, you know, just something. We're just going to be raised spiritually, but he's not going to actually raise our bodies. As Christians, we believe in a bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual resurrection, but an actual bodily resurrection. Christ died. His body was dead. Christ was buried, and Christ was raised. His body was actually raised from the dead. Because he appeared physically to all these people. Now, the interesting thing about the way in which Christ appeared to all these people, like last week when we looked at the story at the end of the Gospel of John about Jesus appearing to his disciples, did they recognize him at first? No, they didn't. There was something different about him that they didn't recognize him at first. But there came to be a point where they did recognize him. They knew it was him, right? So his resurrected body, it was him, but yet it had been transformed. It was somehow different. And so we believe in a bodily resurrection, that God actually raised Jesus from the dead, that he actually raised his body from the dead, and that he will one day raise our physical bodies from the dead. And it goes on and says, in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Christ, have any of you ever like gone and picked, you've ever had like a gone and picked raspberries Or maybe you've had a strawberry bed and you've gone out and picked a strawberry. Like, you know, you're looking for those very first strawberries of the season and you don't want to tell your sister that you saw one because you want to be able to eat those strawberries yourself for as long as possible before everybody else in the family wakes up to the fact that the strawberries have started bearing. Does that sound? I mean, I admit it, I sneak out there, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, there's strawberries. I might tell Stephen, but I'm not going to tell the kids yet, you know? You know, or that very first plum that comes on the tree, or maybe that first raspberry on the bush, you know? Oh, I'm going to, you know, get that. That's a first fruit, right? It's a first fruit. There is a promise of more to come. In Christ, when he was raised from the dead, is a first fruit. There is a promise of more to come. Christ is just the first fruit. Who are the rest of the fruits that are to come? Any ideas? Us. We are. We're the fruit that's yet to become. We're the fruit that's yet to be resurrected. But in Christ, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then Paul goes on and in verse 21, he says, for since death came through a man, so here he's talking about Adam, Adam's sin, way back in Genesis, at the very beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve sinned. Death came through them, through their sin. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So just as all of us died in Adam, there's an invitation there for all of us to be made alive in Christ. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he returns, those who belong to him. And then he goes on in verse 24 and says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. But when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. And then he goes on, and he's arguing with these people that say there's no resurrection, that there's no bodily resurrection, that it's just a nice way of talking about how our spirits will be made alive. Goes on and says, now if there is no resurrection, what will happen to those who are baptized for the dead? That's kind of a different thought we're not going to get into right now. But he asks these different questions, and he comes down and he says, as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? He says, if I, Paul, face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, so in the arena, you know, like in the Colosseum, like they had at Rome, the early Christians, they'd throw them to the wild beasts. Paul says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if Christ is not raised? If the dead are not raised? What was the point of all that? What was the point of me fighting with wild beasts if Christ is not raised? If Christ's body was not raised, what was the point? And he goes on, he says, if the dead are not raised, here's the conclusion. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If Christ is not raised, if Christ's body was not raised, what's the point? Life is futile. You might as well go out and enjoy yourself and eat and drink because tomorrow we die. That's the end. There's no resurrection of any type. if Christ was not raised. He goes on and he says this. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses. Come back to your right mind as you ought, he says, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. What's he saying there? He's basically saying this. He's saying, because of the bodily resurrection, because Christ's body was raised, our bodies now matter. What we do with our bodies today on this earth matters. How we live today matters because Christ was raised from the dead. What we do today matters. How we live today matters. What we do with our bodies today matters because Christ was raised from the dead. God didn't just make us and then go off and abandon his creation when it became polluted. But he set a whole plan in motion to redeem his creation, to redeem our bodies, to redeem our sinful bodies, our actual physical bodies. He set a whole plan in motion. His creation is precious to him. Paul says, how we live matters. If Christ was raised from the dead, if his body was raised from the dead, how we live today matters. And then he goes on, Paul's like a lawyer. You know, he's got all these arguments and things. If you follow his logic, it's really fascinating. It says, but some will ask, how are the dead raised? You know, how is this even possible? How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? And Paul says to this, he says, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. He's talking about seeds here. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. So I have here a packet of seeds. And these are, I'm told of the package, these are forget-me-nots. I remember the very first time I saw forget-me-nots up in Canada, I thought they were the most awesome things. I'd never seen anything like them. But the thing is, if I open this up, and you know, shake these out, you probably can't see it from here, but these are like just little, fairly small seeds. They're just like little, you know, dots. I don't know if you can see that at all. Little dots. I'll pass this around so everybody can have kind of show and tell here. Now, if those seeds are going to be raised from the dead, do we anticipate that they're going to, when they're raised from the dead or when they come to life, that they're going to look just like those seeds? No. I mean, what would be the point of just raising those black dots, right? That wouldn't be very fun. But the other day, I was walking out in our garden, and I happened upon something, and it was really exciting. Forget-me-nots. From seeds that were planted like that. I'm going to pass these around. I'm going to keep one as an example here. Now, in order for there to be forget-me-nots in the garden, somebody, and I know who, wasn't me, someone else in my family, had to take those seeds out of the packet and put them in the ground. And they had to water them. And there were nutrients in the soil. And you know what happened to those seeds that were planted? They germinated. But do you know what happens to a seed when it germinates? It dies. I mean, the seed itself falls apart. We don't always see this with really small seeds, but like if you have a bean seed or a pea seed, you can actually, like a bean seed, you can actually see how like the seed kind of dies, like it splits apart. And then this sprout comes out of it, and that seed does not continue to be as it was. Because it gets broken apart as the sprout comes out of it. It has to die in order for life to come out. The seed itself is not preserved. There's a sprout that comes out, right? And the seed and the moisture and, you know, the nutrients and everything, it feeds the plant, and then there's this new plant. And many, Paul's, he's, you know, saying, you know, to think about, you know, that you're the resurrection, that you're, that the body that you have now is just going to look like the body at the after the resurrection. That's baloney. Who would want that? Who wants just that little brown speck? What good is that? But look at that. I mean, that is fabulous. Have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, that's astounding. Just stop and think about it. Go through a walk in the woods. You know, it's astounding. We think this is astounding. What about the bodily resurrection? We're seeds. And what we do with our bodies now, how we live, matters. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just stay in the seed packet. I think I have another seed packet up here. These are radishes, by the way, you know. Different. They're going to look different, aren't they? They're not going to look like a forget-me-not. They're going to look different. You know, I don't want to just stay in the seed packet. What good is that? But if we're planted, what we do with our bodies matters. So he goes on, and in that first, in, starting with verse 35, he says, "But some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body." God's going to take care of it. But if God can do this with creation, with the first creation, can you imagine what he's going to do with the second? If you think this world in all of its glory is fabulous, can you imagine, and in the midst of the sin, can you imagine what he's going to do with a new creation? With taking what is here and transforming it. He doesn't just destroy it. He doesn't destroy us. He transforms us. It says in verse 42, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable." It's put into the ground, it's perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is not going to die. "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory." Anybody feel kind of scummy, kind of messed up? "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness." Anybody here feel weak? I do. Every day. "It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." But when Paul talks about a spiritual body, it's not just spirits. There's a bodily resurrection. There is something to see. If there is a natural body, there will also be a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Jesus is the last Adam. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, hear this part, just as God created us in his image, just as we were created in the image of Adam, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly one, of the heavenly man. Each one of us has been created to bear the image of Christ, to be made into Christ's image, to be resurrected into Christ's image. What's the goal of the Christian life? To be imitators of Christ, to be actually made into the image of Christ, to become like him, to be close to him, to live our lives in him and out of him. That's the goal of the Christian life. He says, so I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That word that Paul uses there for changed, have you ever seen a butterfly as a caterpillar, and then it ends up in a little chrysalis, and then sometime it eventually comes out of that chrysalis? Have you ever gotten to watch that? I mean, it's a word, metamorphosis. Yeah, metamorphosis. It's a caterpillar, you know, that just makes that little J shape. And then things kind of gradually change and it ends up in this chrysalis. I'm thinking specifically of a monarch butterfly, because those are the butterflies I've seen do this the most. But it ends up in this little chrysalis and then it kind of turns green. And then have you ever noticed, if you've seen one, as it gets close to the time of the butterfly coming out, that there's like gold on that green chrysalis? Anybody ever seen that? Like little bits of gold. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And then gradually as you're watching it, that green little chrysalis that has gold on it, it becomes transparent. And you can see the butterfly all scrunched up inside, kind of like one of those little, one of those little pills that you put in the sink and then it gets wet and there's this thing that grows. Aaron's laughing. Kind of like that, but there's, you know, you can see the wings, you can see it moving around, and then it like comes open, and then it's coming out, and all that's left is that little hollow, you know, clear chrysalis that it was in, but here's this butterfly, completely changed from that caterpillar. We will all be metamorphosized. We will all be changed, Paul says. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, here's the conclusion of the matter. You know, because there is a bodily resurrection, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because there's a bodily resurrection, How we live matters. How we live matters. Let's pray.